T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
The 1-2. Votto check swing, doesn't matter. Called strike 3 by the home plate umpire Roberto Ortiz.
Wasn't falling behind as much as he normally does. Didn't put himself in stress situations. Yes, he threw 100 pitches, but I don't know if there were any real high leverage situations for him. So, I'm taking this as a win. Win for the Cubs, win for you. You know, I mean, obviously on the field, we got walked off.
Middays on the Score.
Taylor Davis, a lot of the talk about the play of Yu Darvish last night, even though it was a game the Cubs lost. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals against San Diego. Games 1 and 2 played this Friday and Saturday night at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff and ticket information. Jed Hoyer is the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Jed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Doing well, and Yu Darvish was as well last night. Two schools of thought that we've sort of discussed regarding Darvish here. One is that whatever Darvish you have that night is the Darvish that you have, and you manage it as best you can between your pitching infrastructure and the catcher, and you get the most out of it. The other school of thought is somewhere in this is a solvable puzzle. Somewhere in this remains the ace. Do you allow yourself to get tantalized by a given performance that it can be fixed back to what it was?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I thought last night was a good example. You know, his delivery was really in control. You know, he was around the strike zone all night. Obviously, he didn't walk anybody. Got strikeouts with four seamers, two seamers, splits. You know, cutters, sliders. I mean, really the whole bag of pitches. And, you know, he wasn't as efficient as you'd want. You know, you want a guy to be able to, you know, get into the seventh inning on a night like that. But still, I think that was a really good example of the kind of pitcher he can be. Dominating at times last night, really didn't pitch in much trouble. I think there's no question. I think that I certainly think, as an organization, we see a path to get to those kind of starts on a regular basis. And he's done a really good job all year. His work has been very good in the bullpen, in the weight room. I feel like he's getting stronger as the year has gone on. And hopefully, he can string a couple starts like that together and then really get on a roll. And in the way our rotation is pitching right now, that would be such a great addition, because the guys are throwing great. You know, his rotation spot's been a little bit inconsistent, but hopefully last night is the start of something that we can build on.
Jetta, there's been a lot of conversation the last year or so around Darvish and the forces, whether it's, you know, backup catchers or Hadavi or Borzello or just you guys too, helping Darvish through some of the issues he's had. What should Cubs fans know? I imagine he's been as much a pilot of this process as anybody else. What should Cubs fans know about the way he's taken control and ownership of this process this last year or so too?
Yeah, you know, I think all year. I think the first year with a new team is difficult. You know, you're getting to know so many different people, and just because a person has a job that's meant to help you doesn't mean you have a relationship with that person yet. It takes time to build trust, and I feel like that trust is much higher this year. And I just say he's worked incredibly hard. You know, every side session he takes incredibly seriously. And he and Tommy Hadavi have a really good relationship, and he's been working on a lot of different things. And you know, he's never been a guy that's walked this many batters. I think he's been frustrated by his control. And that's why, to me, of all the things, even if he struck out 2 last night, I was just so excited to see a start where he was locating. He wasn't falling behind often. He didn't have any non-competitive walks. I mean, for me, that was the biggest takeaway last night. Hmm. And that's really the thing I hope we can build on the most, is that, you know, if he's in the strike zone and not giving up free base runners, there's not a ton of hard contact against him. And so really it's about limiting those free passes and getting later in the game.
The Ben Zobrist story spilled into the public sphere with the public release of the divorce filings in two states, as we now know more about what's going on. From a pure baseball perspective, outside of all the well wishes, and obviously I think everybody agrees that he's in a position to try to do what's best for himself personally, but from a baseball perspective, with how you manage the situation, is it actually day-to-day, or do you have to have contingency plans for bigger picture possibilities?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, and I think you kind of alluded to this in the question, I mean, I think it's one of those situations where we're trying to say as little as possible, kind of out of respect for Ben and his family, and it doesn't seem that appropriate for us to talk about it a lot. Obviously, from a baseball standpoint, we are in contact with Ben on a regular basis to make sure he's doing well, you know, but also just to check in on how he's doing. And yeah, of course, that those thoughts creep in that we have to think through, you know, because we don't have a sense of exactly when this might end, when he may come back. So there's a little uncertainty there, and of course that creeps into the baseball part, but you know, it does feel somewhat inappropriate to talk about in that way. So you know, we're going to sort of limit statements on this, and just everyone should know that, you know, we have his best interest in mind and the family's best interest in mind, and you know, we want him to take as much time as possible to get, you know, that part of his life in order.
Agree with you there. I wonder, from a procedural standpoint, are there roster options available to you? Are you able to take this day to day, or is the union or whatever list you've got to, you know, submit your paperwork to, do that give you, I don't know, deadlines where decisions have to be made pertain to 25?
There's
man.
No deadlines. No, we can take this day to day. Okay. And, you know, whatever time increment you want to use on it, we do. And, you know, listen, he's such a valuable, you know, piece of this organization from a makeup standpoint, from a baseball standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. And we just want, you know, what's best for him. And we want, you know, to help him get back to where he has been in the past.
Is Rizzo okay?
Yeah, we're hopeful he can help us this weekend. I mean, I just, you know, this has happened to him a few times. You know, last year when it flared up, he ended up on the disabled list, and that's what we're hopeful to avoid. We don't want him to go in the DL. Hopefully that it does resolve. There are some positive signs in that regard. But it's unclear exactly when he'll be back. But he should be. It's not a long-term thing. It's just a matter of some of this back tightness resolving.
It reminds me a little bit about what Jim Thome dealt with once he got on the other side of 30 and looking at a large man with a big swing. As long as you're certain that this thing is more muscular than it is skeletal or anything like that, because it's always scary when the back is involved with somebody on that side of 30.
Yeah, Riz has always had some muscular, you know, back issues, and he manages them really well. A big part of his off-season routine and in-season maintenance is to make sure that his back doesn't flare up, but it does from time to time. And the more we can shorten these little incidents and keep them within a few days or a week, the better. Because you're right, the last thing you need for a hitter like that and a defender like that is a back problem.
Talking with Cubs GM Jed Hoyer here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Everybody tells you to never, ever, ever scout the slash line in AAA or with prospects. So we figured we'd check in with you. How is Ian Happ doing at AAA? What are the check marks on his list? The slash line looks like an Ian Happ slash line, but you can't just read into that, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, we've obviously been watching all of his at-bats and sending people in to watch him, and I think it's gotten better and better. You know, the quality of his at bat has been much better recently. He's been walking a lot, you know, getting on base. And I think that, you know, once that happens and now that his strike zone is organized and his approach is organized, I think we're going to start to see at some point he's going to go off and start hitting homers like Ian Happ can. And he's worked really hard. He's had a great attitude. And, you know, the most important thing for us is we just want to get him back to just an incredibly dangerous switch hitter, which he is. He's made some adjustments, and those adjustments take time, but I think in the long run, both the Cubs and Ian will really benefit from this time to really be able to work on those things in a less pressurized environment. But he's doing the work, and it's getting better every day.
Talking with Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager, on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on 9 to noon Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Doubling back to the Darvish for a second, Victor Caratini is in the middle of his rehab. Is it certain that Caratini will come back up and Taylor Davis will go back down when he's ready?
Yeah, I think Vic is going to be up real soon. We love the way he was playing before he got hurt. It was a shame. I think that was as good as he can swing the bat. He was catching well. And he's really become a sort of big part of the makeup of the pitching staff and the catcher relationship. He's really got a powerful voice down there, and the guys think really highly of him. And I think Taylor's done a wonderful job. He's caught you very well. I think he's obviously had the heroics against the Cardinals, and we love having him. But I think Vic will be up here soon, and hopefully he can just pick up where he left off.
The word about that hammock bone injury is that it can kind of sap your power even if you do come back. Things coming together fine with that? You guys confident that he's able to have a little bit of a power stroke when he returns?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the concern you have with that injury. He's just hoping that it doesn't sap the strength. And he was driving the ball over the last little bit, so we're hopeful that it's not. But you're right, that is the concern. Now, hopefully the fact that he's not playing every single day, hopefully that will help him not kind of overdo it. But yeah, I think he looked good on rehab, and he's swinging the bat well, and we'll be excited to get him back.
You know, what's interesting is the ability of a couple of your core guys to play a number of positions. You've got Bryant playing more outfield, it feels like, than he's ever played in his career. Wilson Contreras can play a little outfield as well. We've seen him slide in at first base too with Anthony Rizzo out. Does the return of Caratini let you do even more, let Joe do even more positionally, or is this about the level you expect to be at?
Yeah, I mean, I love our versatility. I think Joe does a great job of using it. I think some teams might be scared to bounce a star player like Bryant around the diamond, and obviously we've done that in the past with Javi. We're not doing that now with him, but we have. Jason and Albert can move around the outfield, and Bodie can move around, and I think Joe takes advantage of that in a great way, and it really gives us a lot of options. And a guy like Vic, Vic can play first well. Obviously, he can catch. I do feel like with Wilson, obviously we did it last night, but I think given the toll that catching takes on him, I think we do try to minimize putting him out there. I think that when he's off, hopefully he's off and he can rest his legs. So I think he's the one guy we try to avoid it with. But in general, I think it's a huge plus and a huge part of why we're good.
Theo came out very firmly and said, look, Javier Baez is the shortstop for the Chicago Cubs, and there's no reason to put in any instability or uncertainty for a guy who's continuing to play the best baseball of his life. That said, my feeling is you wouldn't be doing your jobs if you didn't consider what is best for the team and whether or not Addison Russell you'd be a better defense with Russell at short and Javier Baez at second, because frankly, this was an historic defense. One of the greatest defenses in the history of baseball when winning a World Series, having him at that critical position. So how far along did any discussions get? Because I think they're perfectly reasonable to have.
I think they're reasonable. I do think Javi has kind of grabbed that job. He's a shortstop. I think the way he's played, really over the last year and a half has been magnificent, and I think he's comfortable there, and so, that's the decision. But it's a great, conversation to be able to have, because I think we have two elite defensive shortstops on the roster, and the way people play defense now is very different than it used to be. These guys are in shifts all the time, and so, there's only so many times during a game and you're playing straight up shortstop, straight up second base. And I think the way we shift and move guys around, it just takes advantage of both players' incredible range. And so when we have them both on the field, I still think we're as elite as we were before. Javi happens to be the shortstop, but it doesn't mean Addison's not elite in his own way. And there's going to be times he's playing on the left side of the field just because of the way we're shifting.
Theo's mentioned as well that you guys plan to be aggressive with moves in the bullpen as the season goes on. Every team kind of has to be. That's just kind of the nature of having a bullpen, I think. But you guys were aggressive early because you needed to be. You brought up guys like Kyle Ryan and Alan Webster. How much more aggressive is left for you guys using the shuttle between AAA and the big league club? It's been a lot of arms that have been through already. Is that a source of worry for you guys at all?
No. I mean, I think bullpens are always a source of worry. I think that our bullpen's been excellent since the first week. Obviously, last night was a hiccup, but those are going to happen. But, you know, our bullpen's been excellent, but they're volatile. You know, they have some ups and downs, and they have some injuries and overuse. And, you know, one of the concerns you have when you're winning a ton of games is you don't want to overuse those high-leverage relievers. And I think we certainly had a lot of off days that helped us, but now we're getting into a stretch where we don't have as many off days. Hopefully we continue to be in all of our games and playing close games. And so when that happens, you're going to have to use that shuttle to a certain extent and extend your bullpen down to Iowa. And I think we're confident in a lot of those guys that are there. But I think we kind of know that if we have the kind of season that we hope, that we're going to be making moves throughout the summer. This is what we're going to have to do to make sure we can not overuse the certain guys and make sure that we have enough good arms to get through the season.
How close are Strope and or Morrow to returning?
I think Morrow is going to throw early next week. We'll know more at that point. And then Strope is doing very well with his recovery. I think he's feeling very good. What that means as far as when he can really get off a mound and stuff, I'm not quite sure yet, but it seems like we're at least on schedule, and hopefully we can get him back soon. I know he's, frustrated with kind of missing spring training and then getting hurt again, but I think what matters is we get him back for the bulk of the season, and that's certainly on target.
Before the season, we learned from a report in The Athletic that it was in the plans for you and Theo to be around more, to be closer to the clubhouse, to conduct some of your business from a room a little bit closer to the players, and just being there a bit more. Has that indeed happened? And if so, what has the effect been?
I'm probably not the right person to answer that. I don't know. I'm not sure how they feel, but in general, that was sort of born of, a lot of the conversations we had at the end of the year. We sort of realized that we always try to give space to the clubhouse. I don't think either Theo or I feel like that's our domain. That's the domain of people that are in uniform or people that are with the team all the time. And the last thing we want to do is to micromanage the clubhouse. I think that the right way to run a business is to hire really good people to do those jobs and to trust them, and I think we do. And so looking over the shoulder of everyone isn't the right way to do that. That said, we also want to be really accessible, and that way if problems arise, that people can get to us quickly, and maybe we can resolve some of those things a little bit more quickly than we did last year. So that was sort of how that came about. And I think we have done a better job of being around. We just have made a concerted effort to try to be around more, but also to try to be as discreet about it as possible, because we don't want to micromanage. We just want to have our faces seen more and to travel a bit more. And if that helps to do what I said and resolve some issues quicker or strengthen some relationships, I think that's a great thing. But in general, I think we try to be around a lot when we're struggling or things are going wrong. And when things are going well, I think you try to back off and let those things happen. And that's kind of the way we've operated this season.
Jed, when we talked in spring training, you mentioned just how quickly the game has changed from an evaluation standpoint with a whole bunch of slow motion cameras and technologies. And I guess they're now like replacing TrackMan with something else all throughout major league ballparks over the next couple of years. How much of that new proximity that you and Theo are kind of involved in is born out of this extra evaluation techniques, these more cameras and more science and math and stuff that goes to ball players now?
Yeah. Well, I think that, for several years, I think one of the things that has to happen is, everyone has this information, but the information is only as valuable as it is the ability to get that information onto the field and to help. And so I think that's something that we've worked really hard on, is making sure that we have a really good conduit to the, to the dugout, to make sure that, we hire people that know how to synthesize the information and how to put it in the right context for players to use. And that's a big part of the game now, is being able to get the information actionable. because everyone has it. It's just not, you know, everyone can analyze it, but if you can't get it to the players in the right way, it doesn't do any good. If you can't coach it the right way, it doesn't do any good. And the game has changed so dramatically. You know, every year there's new technologies that are out there. There are new ways people are looking at things. And, you know, it's our job to not only, you know, be a fast follower on those things, but also to be a leader in some of these technologies and to, you know, take some risks and to get ahead of the curve on certain areas. So there's no doubt. I mean, the staff is much bigger here in the front office than it's ever been in the past. It's only going to keep growing. And with that, this, you know, creates more information that we have to figure out how to synthesize and how to make actionable. So I don't think that's going to slow down. I think it's only going to increase and potentially even increase, you know, exponentially.
Last thing for you, Jed. Luis Castillo is going to be the opposing pitcher this evening. Then it's going to be Scherzer and Strasburg and Arrieta coming up. Things are getting it's getting kind of real here for a pretty hot offense. How closely are you going to be watching the performance against this elevated quality of starting pitcher?
Yeah, you know, it's a good test for us. You know, I think these kind of tests in the middle of the season are always valuable. You know, hopefully we can get Riz healthy. I think he really helps, especially given that all the guys you mentioned are right-handed. I think, you know, having a healthy Rizzo would certainly help to evaluate that. But it's a good test. You know, we've been playing good baseball. We're now going to get tested against, you know, some of the best guys in the National League. And hopefully we come through it. And I think our guys will be up to the challenge, because there's no doubt that, you know, facing these next three guys is going to be hard for our offense. And we're going to have to grind out some runs and find ways to probably win some low-scoring games.
Jed, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Jed Hoyer, general manager of the Chicago Cubs, on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. This segment brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. This weekend, they're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Leave work early for Friday racing. First race is 3:15. Join them Saturday to watch and wager in the Preakness Stakes. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. Want to get your reaction to an information-filled appearance by Jed Hoyer, 312-644-6767. And next, we have an update on what is going on at the PGA Championship at Bethpage. Tiger Woods just took a birdie, a bogey. Brooks Koepka just birdied. We're going to have all that information for you. Reset the leaderboard. We got some really funny stuff from the Les Grobstein
just a
overnight show
you
to get to. And next, we are going to give away a foursome of golf at Grand Geneva Resort. You're not going anywhere because you can't miss any of that. You've got The Score. PGA Championship coverage on The Score is brought to you by the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva, home of the Brute and the Highlands Championship Golf Courses. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. Brooks Koepka is walking the walk after we noted about this time yesterday. We were reading his comments about sometimes these are easier to win because there's 80 guys you're going to beat. Half the other guys are going to beat themselves. A bunch of other guys aren't going to play well. Well, through 14, he is
a lot of damn circles on that card.
Yeah, three strokes free of Luke List at 3 under. Brooks Koepka is 6 under through 14. Then it's Luke List. The group of 2 under is Mike Lorenzo Vera, Tommy Fleetwood. He's going to win one of these majors. Matt Wallace, he's the other at 2. A whole bunch of guys at 1, and Tiger Woods just took a bogey. He's looking at a very long birdie putt right now, so likely a par for Tiger Woods when he finishes up. Currently, Woods is dead even, and it's been up and down. Some great shots, some awful shots from him. So just keeping track. Koepka is in command. How
doing
would you like to play some championship golf?
I'd
at
love
the Brute
to do
or the Highlands or three friends? Well, give me a number.
8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Caller 8 to the contest line wins a foursome at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa. The Brute, the Highlands, visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. But it's the contest line. 312-591-6700. Yeah. It's got to be the contest.
Otherwise,
line.
You're not going to win anything. I mean, you can call us and talk for a little while, but you're not going to win those tickets to play golf. I found very interesting. I know we've got some gems from the Les Grobstein show just a moment here. Some real treats. But I found it very interesting in our conversation with Jed Hoyer as it pertains, you know, roster construction and everyday baseball stuff. Ben Zobrist being on whatever list he's on, you know, I asked him whether or not there's a deadline to these things. You know, the injured list is 10 days, bereavement is 3 days, paternity leave is 3 days. I don't know.
There's a 7-day concussion.
Yeah, that's the other one. It doesn't seem like there is any end date to whatever list they have Ben Zobrist on. That matters as it pertains to roster construction, who's playing where, how long guys last, all that kind of stuff. Usually when you have injuries like this, the old saying is, well, it has a way of working itself out. You know, the next guy will get hurt, and you'll have to bring up the other guy, or this guy play. You know, all that kind of stuff works out. This is something that's beyond a lot of people's control, both inside and outside the Cubs organization. So the fact that they're able to continue on the way they have been, I thought is an important one, you know, for in terms of how you look at this team over the next however long it may be.
Especially when it's possible that he could walk away entirely.
I suppose.
It just is. It remains a possibility. Now, I haven't heard this, but I hear this is absolute gold. Have you heard this?
No, I have not. It has been teased. It has been mentioned.
Internally it has.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
this is Rick has that look at his eye like, you know, this is pretty good stuff.
We got some stuff here.
All right, we promised this, but this was from Les Grobstein's overnight show in the wee small hours of the morning.
The best hitting pitcher they've had, though, in recent years is now going to be pitching for the Chicago Dogs out in Rosemont. It's Carlos Zambrano. Hope he does well for them. And I know that for anybody that goes out there, they'll have a good time. They're also giving away a lot of pretty cool stuff. I mean, they're going to be giving out what they're calling wieners. I don't think it'd be real hot dogs, but it'll be like plastic wieners or something along that line. Should be fun. Our number 312-644-6767. And area code 309, do the plastic wieners take batteries? Don't know. I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
I don't think they're giving away plastic wieners. I thought they were dressing people as hot dogs.
Why couldn't they
give
away actual hot dogs?
If indeed.
It's a ball game.
Right.
No.
There's no way they're actual hot dogs being given away at a baseball. Come on.
They're going to be giving out what they're calling wieners.
They're calling them that.
Yes.
We wouldn't call them that. Not
area
here.
Code 309. Do the plastic wieners take batteries? Don't know.
Well done, 309.
I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
Yes. Breaking news. This just handed to me.
What if we never find out? We'll never find out if those wieners took batteries.
Don't know.
Well, first of all, maybe they're giving out hot dogs. I don't know. And second of all, if they were, it wouldn't really be that surprising because it's, you know, a baseball game.
They have a lot of hot dogs.
And they're called the Chicago Dogs.
I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
And I think that's wrong about the plastic wieners. I think they're dressing people as hot dogs to set a record for having the most wieners.
That's been the read for the last couple of weeks,
yeah,
right?
Well, wiener costume.
Yes.
Wiener costume.
It's a wiener costume.
They're not giving out wiener costumes?
Your battery-powered plastic hot dog. And, you know, what you do with that.
Enjoy.
What you do with that is up to you.
Please don't turn it on during the game.
Right?
Should be fun.
Be very distracting.
No, of course not. They're definitely not actual
plastic wieners or something along that line. Should be fun.
Something. Oh,
and what's more fun than a plastic wiener, whether or not it takes batteries?
Speaking of hot dogs, by the way, Leftovers coming out on Friday should be a fun one. You and I went into the lab, into the culinary kitchen to cook our favorite, or Carlos Zambrano's favorite hot dog recipe.
Yeah, remember when we were making fun? We looked at when we read the Tribune story about Carlos Zambrano and said, "What do you like on your hot dog?" And it's like, "Oh, corn, cheese, those little French fries."
What the onion, hell is he talking about?
Wait, and so
turns out,
and everybody said, "Hold on, don't make fun of him," because the Venezuelan hot dog, which we then researched, it is a perro con todo, and it's got all that stuff on
it. It's awesome.
Yeah, and we made an approximation. We took a little bit of culinary license.
Sure.
And because we don't have Venezuelan corn salsa here, so we had to come up with a little different version of our own. But we have this fabulous resource of the Entercom Culinary Kitchen.
It's
here,
awesome.
Which is, I would live there. I literally think I could live there.
We try to after the show.
And then there was like
your family's tried to make it happen. Right.
No, there was champagne that was left over from the Ray Diaz wedding toast. So we had our Venezuelan hot dogs and washed it down with a little bit of $20 Moet.
I mean, nice little day.
It really was.
Which, and, you know, here's the other thing. We promised Rick and Jay the other two hot dogs from our excursion to the Culinary Kitchen. And so we walked back here. They were doing an I'm Fat podcast, which is out now, by the way. I'm told it is the best I'm Fat podcast in the I'm Fat podcast history. Is that, I mean, it's,
I think it's accurate.
It came with a lot of hype.
As far as our non-special shows go, like March Fatness and
sure.
Onion Ring of Honor shows, this is our best ordinary episode.
I was planning on listening to the I'm Fat podcast at the gym today.
Our plan was we were gonna crash the podcast with the Venezuelan hot dogs and present
them. That's Mitch's
job.
Mitch always crashes the podcast.
Yeah, but we were going to actually present you food.
And Jay left.
So Brian Gertz is editing our cooking show.
Yeah.
It's a real cooking show.
Yeah, probably come out on Friday.
It's legit. And we'll put it out on Twitter. And if you follow us, you follow the show, you'll be able to get some of that stuff. But Rick, you got to taste it. What was your verdict?
It was really good.
Yep.
The fact that it was a jumbo dog, I also appreciate that part of it. So that's good on you guys.
Does it come with batteries?
But we sautéed some double A's in corn and onions.
I enjoyed the, while a little messy, the, like, what is it, the picnics that are on top?
Yeah!
Yeah, I hadn't had those since, like, my grandma's house, like, forever ago.
Yep, picnic shoestring potatoes.
Oh, they're fantastic. You put those on anything and make it good, but they were fantastic.
Well, you almost ate all of them during the production of the show.
I tried to. That's a worry.
Even Tony Gill, who has a really a lot of awful opinions.
That's right.
He agrees with everybody about how good that dog is. So that's when you know it's good, is when a guy with those kind of thoughts agrees.
It's a victory that he's even heard of a hot dog.
That's true.
I don't know with him. If he's like, what is this encased meat? I have never heard of this before.
We should, when
he's,
we release
he's an
the
alien,
video.
I'm telling you.
Well, he's, you know,
I seriously think he's an alien.
No, he's not. He is a stereotypical millennial. Nothing outside of his immediate world exists or matters. That is how the stereotype millennial is defined.
The responses to the Les Grobstein sound, this is hysterical. This, what they're calling wieners. Has he never heard of hot dogs actually being called wieners?
Never. First time.
They're going to be giving out what they're calling wieners.
Have you heard this? Have you seen right about this?
Does he call them something else? I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
How could you?
I whether it's the three technique or a hot dog somehow being called a wiener, or the idea that a professional baseball team might give away hot dogs.
Maybe.
But in this case, it does appear that they're giving away a hot dog costume to each person, so each person can represent a hot dog, or as is sometimes called a wiener.
Wiener.
And it's called that because of Vienne, which is the German
fun of the hot dogs.
Of Vienna.
Les is going to get credentialed and go there thinking he's getting hot dogs.
By the way, just got a text from our old pal, Brian Peruk.
Yeah.
He will be throwing out the first pitch that game dressed as a hot dog.
That's right, Brian Peruk.
Don't bounce it.
Is he going to whip it in there?
We
had to go to break somehow.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, you at least for that, I'll give you a chance to win.
It's a nice way to do that, Rick.
$1,000 in cash next on the score.
They're going to be giving out what they're calling wieners.
Never heard of these. You guys heard of these?
They are calling them wieners.
I don't know if it's going to catch on.
Hot dog, we have a wiener. And I thank you. Often our text line is just toxic sludge. It's really funny today.
Oh, well done.
Really good. I mean, some of the responses to Les have been as funny as anything else. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is people. Text people to 72881. By the end of the hour, again, the keyword is people to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive, please. Message and data rates may apply. Thanks to Len Casper, Ian Rappaport, and Jed Hoyer. All really good today. Brian Gertz had the video feed. Joe Ostrowski, the update. Zawoski, Camp, and Studs were the producers. Tomorrow, Jonah Carey.
Wonderful.
David Dusek, our guy from Golf Week, who's always awesome. He's going to recap the second day of the PGA Championship. And how about this? Zach Harper in studio.
Wonderful.
He is in town. He is going to talk NBA with us. So the wild man that is Zach Harper will be here with us for you. Lawrence Holmes is next. Keep it here. You got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.